We'll start reading in verse 1, John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for bringing us into your house this morning to study your word. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to meet together in your name. Be with us in the service this morning. Help everything that's said and done to bring honor and glory to you. Help us to learn something in the service this morning that we can use in our service for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of y'all know this story. We're going to read several more verses out of this chapter, so keep your Bible open as we go, but for the sake of time, we didn't read all the way through it the first time. But most of you know this story as the story of the woman at the well, and we're gonna get into that a little bit, but I want to look this morning at several different groups of people here and where their attention was. What they were focused on. We've heard about Jesus being preached here, and we've heard about the woman at the well, but I want to look at these different people and different groups of people and look at where their focus was. What were they paying attention to? First of all, the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. They were focused on numbers. They were counting. How many baptized by John? How many baptized by Jesus? Even though the scripture here plainly says that Jesus didn't baptize, but his disciples did. Basically, the Pharisees were looking at John and looking at Jesus and saying, which one has more converts? Which one is better? Which one is more important? Now, if you know the Pharisees, the Pharisees did not believe in John or Jesus. So the Pharisees believed that they themselves were better than John and Jesus. So when they're arguing, when they're debating which one is better, Jesus or John, they're saying, you know, we're better than both of them, but which one of them is more important? You know, we as Christians, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, but we can get wrapped up in numbers too. We can get to where we're focused on the wrong thing. Several of the people we're going to be looking at in this chapter, they were focused, but they were focused on the wrong thing. They were looking at the wrong ideas. You know, don't get too focused on the quantity of people in church until you have quality people in church. Would you rather have a few good or a whole bunch you couldn't count on? You know, when we consider the people in our life, we usually have a couple people that we consider really close friends that we know that we can count on. And then we have some people that we consider them friends. If you ask somebody, we would say, yeah, that's my friend. But we don't really know whether we could count on him if the situation really called for it. Which is most important? The whole bunch of people that you would say are your friends that may or may not be there when you needed them to? Or the one or two that you know that you can count on? You know, make sure you're focused on developing quality relationships with the people in your church and the people in your community and being the kind of person. Their attention here was on position. Who's better? It showed their pride. They believed that they were better than both of the ones they were discussing. It's not a matter of who's better, but it's a matter of each being all they can be for Christ. You know, if we were to sit down and compare any two people in this room, just pick two people at random and compare them, there would be some people, some things that the person on the left was better at than the person on the right. But on the other hand, there would be some things that the person on the right could do that the one on the left couldn't do. It's not a matter of who's better, but who's doing what they can for Christ. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now we're going to look at the disciples here for a minute. His disciples, they're worried about feeding Jesus. They've left Jesus sitting on the well to go and buy meat. But when the woman comes, Jesus asks her for a drink of water. Now we know that the reason Jesus is here in the first place is to reach this woman. But in the physical sense of things, why did Jesus ask this woman for a drink of water? He's thirsty. But while he's thirsty and wanting a drink of water, what are the disciples doing? They're off trying to find food instead of trying to give water. Their attention was on the wrong problem. They're trying to take care of Jesus. They're trying to help him the best that they know how to do. But while Jesus is looking for water, they're looking for food. Are we ever in the same situation? We're focused on the wrong problem. While God's trying to do one thing, we're over here trying to accomplish something else. While the person how many of you have ever had somebody try to be a blessing to you? They'll come up and give you something and say, I really want to be a blessing. And all the while you're saying, you know that I need that, or you know that I need help with this. You see this all the time at funerals. As a preacher, you kind of sit back to the side and watch during a viewing or something. And this just comes to mind because we had several people mentioned in Sunday school of people that had passed away, and the funerals are coming up. And you'll see the family there, and they're in their grieving process, but they're pretty well composed. And then somebody comes up to the family, and they're bawling and squalling and talking about how much they feel sorry for the family and how much they're praying for the family. And then they walk on off and they leave the funeral home, and that family that was all pretty well composed in the first place is falling apart now because somebody came in and tried to be a blessing to them. And you think, sometimes we focus on the wrong problem. Sometimes our timing's not right. Our thought process is not right. We don't always understand what's going on in a situation, and it can lead us to focusing on the wrong problem. A lot of times we focus on people's problems, but we forget their biggest problem. The world around us, their biggest problem, their biggest need is the need for salvation. You know, we want them to be faithful in church. We want them to read their Bible. We want them to pray. We want them to dress right and act right and talk right and be right. But what they really need first is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's their big problem. You know, we got a lot of churches today that are focused on the wrong thing. We got here yesterday or Friday, and it was after dark Friday evening before we got everything unpacked. And I got up Saturday morning, and I looked in the refrigerator, and I said we need some stuff. We need some milk and eggs and bread and just stuff that we didn't bring with us. So I got in the truck and I went to Walmart, and I'm getting dog food and all just the general stuff that we need. And I get out to the truck and I'm packing all this stuff in the truck, and all of a sudden I look around and I try to pay attention to what's around me, and there's this lady walking toward me. Well, when she gets to me, she's a Jehovah's Witness, and she's trying to hand me a pamphlet on how to have a happy family. And I'm thinking, she doesn't know whether I know Jesus as Savior or not. And it kind of shocked me. I turned the questions around on her and started talking to her, and she actually claimed to believe that Jesus was the only Savior, which is very, very rare for a Jehovah's Witness. But I'm thinking, this person is trying to talk to me about how to have a happy family, and she don't even know whether I'm saved or not. She don't even know whether I know who Jesus is or not. She's committed. She's focused. She's walking around Walmart parking lot talking to everybody she can get a chance to. Sometimes they do a better job of the outreach than a lot of Baptists do, but they're focused on the wrong thing. Now, after a person is saved and on their way to heaven, yeah, start teaching them what the Bible says about their family, but that don't come first. We need to make sure we have our focus in the right place. We're not going to read all the way through this story for the sake of time. We're going to just read some verses here and there and look at it. But the woman here is Samaria. In verse 9, she's going to speak for the first time. It says, "Then saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." The Savior, the Creator, has just spoken to her directly. And the first thing she says, her first thought is race, or at least position. She's thinking, why is this person speaking to me? Why are we having this conversation? She's worried about who she's talking to more than she's worried about what they're talking about. You know, you really think about it. If the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along, and the Jews didn't particularly care to talk to the Samaritans, more than likely the Samaritans didn't particularly care to talk to the Jews either. So this woman, with all of her history, there are even some people that think that the reason she was at the well drawing water at that particular time was she wasn't really accepted into the community and couldn't go when everybody else was. But she's probably thinking, what if all the people of the community see me talking to this Jew? What are they going to think if they see me having this conversation? Why is this guy talking to me? Instead of thinking, this is Jesus. What can Jesus show me? What can Jesus teach me? What can I learn from this? She's more worried about who she's talking to than what they're talking about. You know, a lot of times Christians today have a tendency to do the same thing. We've got certain people that we don't want to talk to. At least don't want to be seen talking to. You know, Jesus says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are times that we as Christians, we can't identify the people that God's working on that are ready to accept the things of God. I had an situation happen right here in Mahia back many years ago. Y'all remember before they moved Walmart, Walmart was over there, I think where Tractor Supply is now or somewhere over there. And a group of us as teenagers, we were passing out tracts in front of Walmart. We'd got permission and we were over there passing out tracts in front of Walmart. And there's this lady coming out, and I was just a teenager, and I looked at this lady and I said, this is a sweet old grandma lady. She's gonna be pleasurable to talk to. And I hand her a track and she walks on across. You know how they have the crosswalk before you get to the first set of parking spaces? And she gets over there before she realizes what I put in her hand. I just walked up to her and said, "Here's something for you to read when you get a chance," or something like that. And she turns around and looks back at me across the parking lot. And she says, I'll have you to know I go to such and such Baptist church and I don't need this junk. And she wadded up the track and threw it on the ground and turned around and walked off. And I thought, wow, I really missed that one. Well, the next guy that comes out's this big old burly, hairy-looking guy, tattoos all over him, and I looked at him, and I'm like, I give a tract to this guy, and he don't like it. He may just fuck me upside the head, and that'll be the end for me. But I walked up, and I said the same thing. Here's something for you to read when you get a chance. And he walks across. People were just kind of walking across, pushing their buggy, and they'd look at what I put in their hand while they were walking. He gets to the other side, and he turns loose of his buggy, and he turns around and starts walking back toward me. And I thought, I've had it now. And when he walks up to me, he's got tears in his eyes. And he says, I want to thank you for caring enough about me to care where I spend eternity. And he put his arm around me and hugged me and then went on about his business. And I thought, you know, the one that I thought would be sweet and nice wasn't. And the one that I thought was going to be mean and grumpy wasn't. So it's not up to me to make the decision who. It's just up to me to focus more on what I'm talking about, the message that I have, than to focus on who I'm carrying the message to. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? So here Jesus begins to try to divert her attention to the things of God. If you only knew what God was trying to do, if you only knew who I was, if you only knew what I was trying to accomplish. But her attention here is still on the well. It hadn't sunk into her. She hadn't grasped the fact that Jesus does not need the well to provide the living water. You remember the story over in the Old Testament where Moses is told to smite the rock. Have you ever looked at the word rock in your King James Bible? It's capitalized. What does that mean? It's a name. Who's the name? I believe that rock itself was Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't need the well to provide the living water. It don't matter whether he has a bucket or not. It doesn't matter how deep the well is. But the devil's got her focused on the fact that the well's deep. And he don't have a bucket instead of focusing on what he's trying to offer. Has that ever happened to you? God's trying to focus your attention and you still don't get it? How many of you have ever learned something from the things of God? You finally got a hold of something. And once you got the concept, you looked back and realized that God's been trying to teach you this for days or months, sometimes even years. You can look back and say, hey, when Brother so-and-so got up and preached that, God was trying to teach me this. When so-and-so called me and wanted to talk to me for no apparent reason, God was trying to teach me this, and how many times has God showed me, and I still didn't get it? Anybody besides me ever read a verse of Scripture that you know so well you're almost quoting it in your mind instead of reading it because you've been over it and over it and over it and over it, and then all of a sudden something pops out of it that you hadn't ever seen before? That happened to me this morning, and y'all might hear about it sometime in the next few weeks. But God's always trying to teach us something. But a lot of times we're not focused. We're not paying attention to what God's trying to show us. Verse 12, she says, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? We're back to the which one is better question. We started out with, is John better or Jesus better? Now this woman is saying, are you greater than Jacob? Are you better than Jacob? Now she's comparing somebody that's alive that she's talking to right now that she don't know to somebody in her ancestry that she's never met before, that was long gone before she got there, and she's saying, which one's better, Jesus or Jacob? Now, when it comes to which one's better, Jesus or John, we know which one's better. When it comes to which one's better, Jesus or Jacob, we know which one's greater. But in this situation, it didn't really matter. It didn't matter how great Jacob was. In fact, it didn't really matter how great Jesus was. All she needed to do was listen to what Jesus was trying to tell her. You know, she couldn't even at this point, she couldn't trust in the blood of Jesus for the salvation of her soul, because the blood of Jesus hadn't been shed yet. All she simply needed to do was listen to the message that Jesus was trying to teach her and begin to understand who Jesus was. Moving on, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. So now Jesus has made her an offer. He's made her an offer of living water. Whoever drinks of the living water shall never thirst again. But she's still looking at the physical side of things. She wants what Jesus has to offer, but she wants the living water so she don't have to travel to the well anymore. She wants the living water so she don't thirst or have to come hither to draw. You know, even as Christians, we have a bad habit of only worrying about the physical when the spiritual is all the more important. Your spiritual life is a lot more important than your physical life. This physical life is temporary. You really look at it. This physical life is just a deciding point. This is where you decide whether you're going to accept Jesus for eternity or reject Him for eternity. The spiritual side of things is what matters. Look at verse 19. Jesus has, in between verses 15 and 19, Jesus is basically pointed out her sins very bluntly. And verse 19, she says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You really think that Jesus was a prophet? He knew what was going on in her life. He knew what was going to happen in her life. So yeah, I guess that makes him a prophet. But he's a lot more than that. It's only after Jesus points out her sin that she begins to see the religious side, the spiritual side of the conversation. And then she goes on, verse 20, our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She begins to try to change the subject. She's changing the subject away from her sin. And what's she doing? What's she trying to put the subject on? She's trying to talk about church. Any of y'all ever had that happen? You knock on somebody's door. Are you on your way to heaven or not? What's their answer? Well, I go to such and such church. That's exactly what this lady's trying to do 2,000 years before today. She's trying to divert attention away from her sin, away from her need for a Savior, by talking about where she goes to church. Talking about church is good, right? We mentioned in Sunday school that we need to talk about our church in public. But talking about church when God wants to talk about sin and salvation is not good. A lot of people do the same thing. You try to talk to them about their soul, and immediately they try to talk about their church habits. I'm sure it's the same way here, but up there you'd ask them if they were going to heaven, and they would say yes. I don't ever leave it at that. I ask somebody if they're saved and on their way to heaven, and they say yes. I immediately ask them what makes them think they're going to heaven. And if they give me any other answer other than I trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ, then I have serious doubts about whether they know what they're talking about. But you'd ask people why they think they're going to heaven, and they start saying, "Well, I go to church pretty often, and I don't cuss much, and I haven't stole very many things in my life, and I've never killed anybody, and I keep control of my temper most of the time." And they start focusing on sins that they don't commit. All the while I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I saw y'all don't have this problem here, but up there you could say, I drove by the casino last night on my way into town, and I saw your truck there, so are you really being good stewards of what God gave you? And they're talking about the sins that they haven't committed, but they're purposely avoiding the ones they have committed. They're talking about their spiritual habits instead of talking about salvation. It doesn't matter where this woman goes to church. She still does not know who Jesus is, and she needs to learn about Jesus. That's the important factor of this day. If you get out talking to people about the things of God, you're going to meet some people in this community that go to Baptist churches that don't know who Jesus is. You're going to meet some people that have been in church all of their life. I've had people tell me they thought they were going to heaven because their grandpa was a preacher. That doesn't affect things. That doesn't matter. The focus is whether they've understood that Jesus is their Savior. Look at verse 25. "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." She wants to talk about what she knows about God instead of listening to what he knows. You notice what she said there. Look at it again. "The woman said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." This is what I know. I know that the Christ is coming. I know that the Messiah is coming. He's going to be called Christ. And when he comes, this is what he's going to do. He's going to teach us all things. She's talking about what she knows about God. Have you ever been guilty of this? Have you ever prayed something along the lines of, "Lord, I know that I need to," or, "Lord, we both know that that person should," and we start telling God what we know? A better prayer is, "Lord, show me what you want me to do." Even Saul, when he got knocked off of his donkey on the road to Damascus, he just looked up and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do?" It's not about what I know about God. It's letting God show me what he wants me to do. "Jesus saith unto her," verse 26, "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her?" The disciples here, they arrive at a critical point. Jesus has just informed that this woman, that he is the Messiah. She's at the critical point. She's fixing to make the decision whether she's going to trust him as Savior or not. Let me use your imagination for just a minute. Put yourself in the disciples' position. You've been off in town. You don't know what's going on with Jesus and this woman. But you walk up and you see Jesus, you hear Jesus inform this woman that He is the Messiah. Now, this is the point that she decides, is she going to accept Jesus and spend eternity in heaven? Or is she going to reject Jesus? What would you think would be a good thing for you to do? If we're the disciples, what would be a good thing for us to do? I'd say get off on the other side of the well and have a quick prayer meeting about this woman, that she makes the right decision. That she understands what Jesus is talking about. Have a prayer meeting for her to come to a knowledge of Christ. But instead, they're wondering why Jesus is talking to somebody like that. Why is He... The Bible says they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no man asked, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They didn't come up and say, hey, Jesus, what are you doing talking to that Samaritan? But in their mind, that's what they were thinking. They marveled, they were amazed that Jesus would talk to somebody like her. When the time came that they should have been praying, talking to God, trying to be an influence, or at least paying attention to see how Jesus handled a situation like that so they would know what to do later when they were teaching and preaching, instead of doing that, they're worried about, why is He talking to somebody like that? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, and she's gonna go on to tell the men what Jesus said, but she left some things behind when the truth sank in. Why did she come to the well in the first place? To draw water. Why do you reckon she needed water? Somebody at her house was thirsty, or there was dishes that needed washed, or she needed to clean up something on the floor, or somebody needed to wash their hands. She needed water for something. Maybe she was cooking and she needed water. We don't know. But she came to the well for the purpose of getting water. And not just for the fun of going and getting water. She had a purpose. She had a reason for needing that water. But once she finds out who Jesus is, she left the water pot behind and went back to the city. Her focus changed. Now she's not worried about getting the water to her house, but she's worried about getting some of her house to the Savior. She's not worried about taking people the water that they physically need. She's worried about taking people the truth that they spiritually need. You know, it took her a while to get this. She's wondering why Jesus is talking to somebody like her. What's everybody going to think? She's wondering how Jesus thinks He's going to get water out of a deep well without a bucket to draw with. She's even wondering who's better, Jesus or Jacob. She had her focus in the wrong place for a long time. But when the truth finally sank in, it affected how she acted. We'll lose focus on some things that we hold dear when the things of God begin to sink into our heart. When we begin to really pay attention to what God's saying and doing, some of the things that used to be important to us aren't so important anymore. The things of God become more important. Verse 31, in the meantime, while His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He saith unto them, I have meat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any brought Him aught to eat? You know, these disciples must have been good Baptists, because they're still worried about the food. They're still trying to make Jesus eat. Their focus is still on the physical instead of the spiritual. I want you to notice something here. The disciples are followers of Jesus, right? That's what disciple means, a follower. This Samaritan woman, she's a lady of ill repute. I'll get it right in a minute. She's a lady that has a lifestyle that nobody's really pleased with. Nobody wants to admit that they know her. She's a nobody. These other guys, these are the apostles. They're the ones that wrote a good section of our New Testament. But at this point in Scripture, in verses 31 and 32, the Samaritan that has a bad testimony, that's a nobody, has understood the spiritual side of this conversation. But the close followers of Jesus still haven't got it yet. Sometimes even the church don't get it. Sometimes even the pastor don't get it. Sometimes God's working on things that we don't understand. We don't see. We had a missionary come up there to Oklahoma, and it was a very interesting situation. It was a lady that was by herself, and she was going to join up with a missionary couple that was already on the field to help them. And she said that when she had been growing up, God had called her to the mission field. And her husband had been called to the mission field, and they never went. She said they both knew that God had called them to be missionaries, but they just didn't go. And over the years, they were married for quite a while, and then her husband passed away. Well, then she started feeling like God was still calling her to the mission field, so she decided to go. Well, it was kind of an interesting situation because obviously she couldn't get up and preach. But I let her get up in Sunday school and talk about where she was going and what she was going to do and what her mission was about. And the people there didn't know much about missionaries, so I had made a list of questions that you normally ask a missionary. What language do the people speak? What kind of food do they eat? Yada, yada, yada. Just to give people kind of an example of what kind of questions. Well, I asked her what the dominant religion was in the area. And she said that the dominant religion was Roman Catholic. Well, after church, she said, I hope I didn't cause any problems by saying the dominant religion was Roman Catholic. And I said, I asked the question I wanted to know. And she said, well, I never mentioned that because if I go into a church, who knows if the pastor's been working on a Catholic family trying to get them to come to church, and that Sunday might be the first time they were there. And if I say something about that, that I could damage what God and the pastor have been trying to do. You know, there are times that God's working on things that we don't know God's working on. And if we're not paying attention, if we're still looking at the physical side of things instead of the spiritual side of things, we can do some damage to something that God has been working on. They're still focused on the physical instead of the spiritual. And then Jesus is going to tell them in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. His focus was on doing the work of God. I wonder where our focus is. How many people in this situation were focused on the wrong things? They were focused on who was better than who. Or why is this person talking to that person? Or how deep is the well? Or where's the water pot? Or even whether Jesus is better than Jacob. If you could see into heaven today and ask Jacob which one was better, what answer would he give you? And sometimes even after the lost world can understand the things of God, sometimes we as Christians don't. Just because we're a close follower of God don't mean that our focus is exactly where God wants it to be. How many times did, like the story of when they're crossing the sea, and Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," and they reasoned it in their heart because they had forgotten bread. Their focus wasn't on the spiritual lesson that God was trying to teach, but it was on the physical things. You know, Christians can even get so busy with the workings of a church that they forget what the church is there for. We get so focused on what we're trying to do that we forget why we're trying to do it. You know why the disciples were following Jesus? Because He's the Savior. Why was Jesus on His way to Jerusalem in the first place? Because He's the Savior. Why was He stopped and talked to the woman at the well? Because He's the Savior. You know, the Savior's going to stop and talk to people that need saving, right? The verse even says, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Sometimes instead of wondering why God's dealing with that person, we ought to ask God how He wants us to deal with that person. Instead of focusing on the physical side of things, you know, I believe just about every situation we run across, there's a spiritual side to it. There's something that God's trying to accomplish. It may be something He's trying to accomplish in our life or in somebody else's. Maybe He's trying to teach us something, or maybe He's trying to use us as an example to teach somebody else something. But there's a spiritual side to everything. But many times, we're just like the disciples here. We're just like the Pharisees. We're just like this Samaritan woman that can't understand what God's trying to do. You know, we're out of time, but the verse is going to say there's a lot of people that came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ because of this woman's testimony. Those people that come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ because of this woman's testimony are going to ask Jesus to stay so they can hear more from Him. And because He stays, there's going to be another group of people. Look it up and you'll hear this in their own words. There's another group of people that's going to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, not because of what the woman said, but because of what Jesus said. So the woman's testimony reached a few. The few asked Jesus to stay. And because Jesus stayed, that affected the salvation of a few more. Where's our focus today? Are we focused on the things of God? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Let's stand and bow our heads. We're going to ask the musicians to come, and we'll have a verse of an invitation song. Maybe there's something that God's pointed out in your life that your focus is not in the right area. You're not paying attention to the right things. These altars would be a great place to come and ask God to redirect your focus.
Page number 17.
As they sing, page number 17.